Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I did this, so let's see if I can remember. It's the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, even though I was out with the lovely flu that's going around, the blog did go up yesterday morning, so if you didn't get a chance, swing on over there, sportstimeradio.com. Check it out. Of course, while you're hanging out over there, look for that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E.
So. All right, so you're correct or not? Are you in Philadelphia for the victory parade or no?
No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you did go. Did you get to see any of the highlights from the parade?
I'm assuming it was a bunch of drunk people falling over each other, eating dog crap. I literally saw that.
I thought it was horse crap, but either way, it was disgusting, and it just kind of it didn't really improve the Philadelphia fans' reputation. So, it was kind of weird for whatever reason, and I don't know why. The one stat that jumps out to me is they had one porta potty available for every 3,000 fans that attended the parade today. So I would really hate to be part of, you know, city sanitation tomorrow with what you're going to have to probably deal with on the streets. So
it could all freeze over.
Yeah, I don't know the Philly weather. I guess that is possible. I know we're supposed to get a boatload of snow. I'm sure they'll get some of it as it moves that way. So, who knows, what it'll end up being. But yeah, I don't know why that was the stat that stuck with me, but yeah, that was kind of the odd thing, and I just thought maybe you went there, live today to cover it for Sports Time Radio. So, just didn't work out, I guess. But it's now that it's passed, it is a... Oh, hey, we're going to start off really well. Sadly, Dan has dropped off, so we will wait for him to recapitulate. There he is. Let's bring Dan back in. And all right, so you were are you sure you're not in Philly after the call just dropped off like that? It's probably possible. So,
No, but I am checking the weather. And they're clear.
So,
no snow in there,
but yeah,
no snow in there.
As a as a graduate of, was that technically a broadcasting school you went to, or what would they describe that as?
No, it was a university, or it was a college.
All right, I wasn't sure if they had a little subtitle there, but yeah, they had a bit of a faux pas with Eagles offensive lineman Jason Kelce. I'm sure you'll see the highlight quite a bit when he managed to slip a big old F-bomb by somebody who was asleep at the switch. So I couldn't quite figure out what the hell he was dressed like. If you see it, you may have to explain it to me at some point in time. But, yeah, he was singing some kind of odd song where, the good old F-word was like almost every other word, and the first one got by before the guy sitting at the soundboard could figure out what he was doing. So that was quite entertaining. And I don't know, you think that guy still has a job now?
Probably not.
So, you know, I mean, I do wonder, you know, maybe, you know, since it's kind of out of his control, if you're going to, you know, stick a microphone in these guys' faces, that's what you're going to get. But there was another humorous one of Nick Foles riding on the bus and basically getting caught in some tree limbs that were hanging down. That was kind of humorous. So, you know, some fun stuff if you go out and, you know, hunt down the thing, you know, any kind of video or whatever you want to look at it as. But, you know, just, hey, just another victory parade. And Dan was right. It's just a bunch of drunk people, you know, wandering around. We'll see how it goes. But, Dan, it was the trading deadline in the NBA, and, man, there was a lot of action. Not a ton with the Bulls here locally, but a lot of interesting stuff. I know I tweeted you. I saw that your guy, you know, Doug McDermott, on his way to Dallas. Are you you excited that he's going to get to play with Dirk?
So he just goes from one bad team to the next to the next.
Yeah, that kind of seems the track he's on right now. But you know, that's you know, I wanted to make sure you knew about that one right away. So the minute I heard it, I did ship that off to you on Twitter so you could you know, get your reaction there. But yeah, the whole deal went down like this: the Mavericks got Doug McDermott and a future second round pick. While it was a three-team trade, while the Denver Nuggets got Devin Harris and a 2018 second-round pick, and the Knicks were the third team in the deal, of course, they got Emmanuel Mudiay, the guard who was a relatively decent prospect when the Nuggets grabbed him as a first-rounder, but hasn't really done much. So, but yeah, you know, obviously that's a big story because, you know, Dan has always liked Doug McDermott and it didn't involve the Knicks, but you know, the big story here, Dan, the Cleveland Cavaliers basically redid their roster in a day. I mean, LeBron was really out there wheeling and dealing. You know, have you been able to keep up with what they've done?
I saw the headlines. I mean, they were able to ship Wade to back to Miami. Isaiah Thomas didn't want to get traded. You know, was sent back to. I forgot now. You want to break it?
Well,
down?
Here I'll give you the rundown here. The first trade they made had Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, and Cleveland's first round pick. Not the Brooklyn Nets pick that they own, but their own first-round pick. That went to the Lakers. In return, they got Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. Then they made a three-team deal that involved, obviously, the Cavaliers, the Utah Jazz, and the Sacramento Kings. The Cavaliers end up with Rodney Hood and George Hill in that trade. The Utah Jazz end up with Derrick Rose and Jay Crowder, and the Sacramento Kings end up with Joe Johnson, Iman Shumpert, and a 2020 second-round pick. And then you mentioned the other trade they made was Dwayne Wade going back to Miami where it all started, and in return the Cavaliers get a second-round pick for him. So they shipped off six guys, and they brought four back. You know, I guess the question is, I mean, you think this made LeBron happy?
Well, apparently he wasn't too happy with the Celtics trade getting Isaiah.
Yeah, you know, it was slowly but surely. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of their games, but just kind of reading the comments and hearing the comments and stuff, it was kind of becoming clear that Isaiah Thomas wasn't really going to fit with LeBron. I mean, that just wasn't going to work out. So, they were able to ship him off and get a little something in return. You know, the Lakers are, you know, they're going to end up with $47 million in cap space as of right now after the season. There's a couple other things I read that could give them $70 million of open cap space. So we'll have to see if they can put that into bringing LeBron there. It would be kind of interesting that a trade with the Cavaliers would be what opened up enough cap space for them to get LeBron, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So now, you know, I think I was really surprised with, you know, because you know LeBron had to sign off on it. Were you shocked they shipped Dwayne Wade off? Because that one kind of caught me by surprise.
Not really. I mean, he did go to Instagram and say it is how it's supposed to be. Makes you wonder if Wade's just going to retire after the season.
Yeah, that will be something we'll have to watch. I won't be surprised if he, you know, if he just kind of says, ah, yeah, that's it. I'm going away. So thank you. You know, however that works out. So we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, I know, you know, everything I heard, everybody's all excited about, you know, all the trades and they think Cleveland's that much better now. And, I don't know, Dan. They, you know, they could be, they couldn't be. I guess on the plus side, they got younger, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess that was the biggest complaint, is they were getting too old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got younger and they should be better on defense. There's never a guarantee on that, but they should be better. We'll just have to kind of see how that works out. So, I guess it's a good thing. There were, the couple trades here locally, Dan, I can give you the two moves the Bulls made. The player they traded, it wasn't Nikola Mirotic like we thought, but they did send the rights to Milovan Rakijović to the Portland Trailblazers. In return, they get Noah Vonleh and cash considerations. And then in the other deal they made, let me make sure I get the numbers right, they shipped off Jameer Nelson, who they just acquired a few days ago, and their 2022 second-round draft pick. They sent those two to the Detroit Pistons. In return, they got Willie Reed and Detroit's 2022 second-round draft pick. I read that the Bulls already plan on releasing Reed, so he won't even be with the team. It was just basically a salary dump for them. So there you go. There's the two big Bulls moves. Are you surprised that Mirotić is still in a Bulls uniform after all the talk we heard? Or no, he's gone already.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the 15th.
Sorry, I've been sick. So... yeah, he was the guy they traded to get Jameer Nelson. But I guess what I'm more – you know, what I meant to say was, are you surprised that, you know, Robin Lopez is still in a Bulls uniform? That was the guy I was thinking of. I don't know why the hell I was on Mirotić still. So.
Well, I mean, I don't understand trading away Nikola Mirotić, where if you picked up his option, you'd pay like $12 or $13 million next year, as opposed to picking up Omar Asik. And I think he was owed like 20 plus million for the next year and the year after.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, no, I've just kind of decided that whatever this team does doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I've kind of, kind of given up trying to figure it out. So, you know, it was just that's. You know, that's what they decided. I mean, I think what now? Asik is the only guy still around from that trade, right? They shipped Nelson off. They cut Tony Allen. You know, now that they, you know, they shipped Nelson off for a guy that they're going to cut. So the only guy they really got was, you know, good old Omar out of that. I mean, I know he had good games when he was a Bull before, but I, you know, if you can't get rid of Robin Lopez, I don't know where you're going to find playing time for him.
The G League?
Yeah, you know, that, I think, is he still hurt? Is he still recovering from an injury? I don't even remember. It's it's been so long since I've seen him play, so. But yeah, who knows? But here are the other trades, Dan, that I have, and I gotta tell you, I don't know a ton about some of these guys that were traded, but the Brooklyn Nets picked up Dante Cunningham from the New Orleans Pelicans, and in return they shipped Rashad Vaughn off to the Pelicans. The Phoenix Suns picked up Elfrid Payton from the Magic. I remember Payton as a top 10 draft pick. Oddly, in return, all the Magic got was a 2018 second-round pick. So I don't know, however you want to look at that. Detroit made another trade earlier in the day. This was actually the first trade. They got James Ennis from the Memphis Grizzlies in return for Bryce Johnson. The Atlanta Hawks sent Luke Babbitt to the Miami Heat, and in return they got O'Carroll White, who I did read that they were planning on releasing anyways. He's another one of those guys. And then yesterday, I don't know if you saw this one, the Knicks did move one of their centers. They ended up shipping off Willie Hernan Gomez to the Charlotte Hornets, and in return they got Johnny O'Brien and two future second-round picks. That actually happened yesterday. So those are the trades that are all official and caught up on. I don't think anything else will be coming down the wire because the trade deadline was, a couple hours ago, so they should all be in. With the exception of the Cavaliers, Dan, not a lot of really huge movement, huh?
No, and I was wrong about Ashik. The $20 million was so combined.
Oh, okay.
So 11 next year, 11 the following, and then, half of roughly that this year. So pretty equal, but I still don't understand the trade.
Yeah, it was almost one of those things where it seemed like they just decided they needed to move Mirotić because of the Bobby Portis thing, and, they just kind of sent him wherever – they get what they thought the best deal was, right?
I guess, but it doesn't even seem like it was a good deal or a deal at all for a guy who was.
So, yeah, it was, again, it was kind of, like I said, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, unless, they magically get something out of that draft pick, which I don't think I would expect, but I guess you never do know. So like I said, with the exception of the Cavaliers, not a lot of huge deadline in, they were kind of the big movers or shakers or, whatever you want to jump up and call them or, let's, do all that fun stuff with. So I guess we'll see. But, I don't know, Dan, are you buying Cleveland now as a favorite in the East again now that they did all this?
I wasn't buying that they weren't.
And it was funny because, like some of the bigger names, I mean, I was waiting all day to hear DeAndre Jordan get traded, and it just never happened. It was kind of like, okay, you've been talking about this for, I think even before Blake Griffin got traded, they were talking about the Clippers moving DeAndre Jordan, and it just never, it never even came up with everything else going on. I mean, it seemed like every other couple minutes there was a new Cavalier trade. And how that is. That's all they're going to kind of focus on when stuff like that happens. So, but yeah, it was like, well, okay, are we going to get something? But I guess, I don't know. I guess the Clippers think they're contenders.
Maybe if they get an NBA or NFL deal and move to the East.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, but that's, yeah, you know, that's what the, you know, that's what the, you know, the NBA is going on today. I think, I don't know. I think they, you know, you saw, we talked, the Cavaliers played last night. You actually got to see some of that. So they're not playing tonight. Otherwise they would have a bit of a difficult time fielding a team. So they would probably have to go at it with about six guys. So I don't think the league would want that. I'm looking here at the schedule, and you know, the only team that looks like they're really going to be down players, the Lakers are on the schedule tonight. You know, and they'll obviously be without, you know, Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. So they get the joy of playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that's probably not going to go too well for them. So, but yeah, other than that, it's just, you know, teams who, you know, made a minor move here or there. I know, you know, Atlanta, and, you know, Atlanta's playing Orlando. The Knicks are playing the Raptors. The Celtics and the Wizards are the first game on TNT tonight, Dan. That could be a good game. The Hornets and the Trailblazers. I mentioned the Thunder and the Lakers. That's the second TNT game. And then the Mavericks and the Warriors. So not too many shorthanded teams tonight. So should the trade deadline day, Dan, should that be a day off for all the teams so they can kind of regroup and, you know, see what goes on?
They might as well. I mean, they get enough days off as it is.
So it should just be a day off for the entire league. So now I did switching up here. That's about all I know about the NBA. Do you know anything else we need to talk about in the NBA? How's your team doing in our league? You can tell me that before I bring this up.
All right. I mean, you forgot to mention Rose got traded to the Jazz. We plan to release him. And Minnesota is interested in him.
But I had some stuff that I wanted to do today, because I mentioned earlier we're actually supposed to get like a foot of snow starting here. It's supposed to be starting about 6 p.m. our time going until tomorrow. So I wanted to get all my running around down and stuff so I don't, you know, necessarily have to go anywhere in the bad weather. And, you know, Dan, I decided I was going to listen to the MLB channel on Sirius Radio while I was driving around, just to kind of see what they were talking about, if there was anything good going on. Do you have any idea, Dan, what the main story on the MLB Sirius XM channel was that they talked about for, good Lord, probably 30 minutes or more?
Mike Trout?
No, not Mike Trout at all. The big story, Dan, was the fact that Russell Wilson was traded from the Rangers to the Yankees.
Well, isn't that kind of like big news for you, since you're a Russell Wilson fan?
No, because he's not a baseball player. It's funny because one of the things they included when they were talking about it was that the Yankees are going to assign him to Double A, but he's not going to report. He's just going to make a couple appearances here and there.
Well, he's going to work out in the spring. He's going down to Florida.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think he's going to be there the entire time. Just one of those things. I mean, that's when I realized the off-season market was just so pathetically slow, because they really tried to make this a huge topic, and it's like, this means absolutely nothing. And like you said, I'm a Russell Wilson fan. I like the Seahawks. I like Russell Wilson. I don't have any issues with it. except for the fact that this is just really a non-story, and they need to, we need to figure something out, because this is ridiculously maddening.
Well, I mean, there's nothing for you and I to figure out.
Well, there's always something for you and I to figure out.
Well, and then, you know, there's nothing like you and I can do about it. You know, we can't, we can't go and force, you know, the Cubs or the Brewers or some other crazy team, you know, the Rockies, the Oakland Athletics, you know, we can't go force them to sign Jake Arrieta to a 10-year, $600 million deal.
You know, technically we could, but we would probably be arrested for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, you know, coming up the next couple of months, will we see the Kaepernick collusion case followed by the Jake Arrieta, you know, well, I guess it wouldn't even be Jake Arrieta, it would be the Scott Boras collusion case.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to wonder now. I'm not sure if you heard this one or you followed up on this one, but they did announce today that I'm trying to remember. It might be IMG or whatever it is. They are going to have a camp for all the unsigned guys. You know, they're going to allow all the unsigned free agents to come down and work out when spring training starts. Of course, right after that announcement was made, Scott Boras came out and said his guys would not be attending. So that quickly kind of went nowhere fast. But I mean, do you think guys will go? Do you like that idea? Or
I think they should. I mean, I don't think there should be a group doing it. I think Major League Baseball should already have something in place like this. You know, but that's just me. And for Scott Boras to say that your guys aren't going to do it, well, I think you're actually hurting them, because no one's going to get a look at them. So, and then you're keeping them off of baseball activities.
To be fair, Boras actually has – they have their own setup, just like IMG does. Oh. So their guys apparently work out there.
Well, then that's a different story.
Yeah. So I don't know that for sure, but I believe that's what they're saying. So. So yeah, that's where they are. But I found this one for you, Dan. They have some, what you would call the first projections of 2018. So I'm going to give these to you and just kind of tell me if you agree or disagree right now. I mean, I know it's only February, but let's have some fun with it. There's not any really other baseball stuff going on. So here you go. They have the Dodgers and the Astros. Now, this is Pecota making these predictions. Each winning 99 games this season. You buying that?
I could see that happening. You know, what's funny is a couple of years ago I brought up Pecota and you looked at me and go, what the hell are you talking about?
That's because I thought you were talking about Bill Pecota, the former White Sox third baseman. So, now in the American League, they have the Indians at 97 wins and the Yankees at 96. You on that?
No, you know, I think the Yankees might get close to that, but since they traded Starlin Castro, no, I'm not gonna go that bad, but. No, I think they'll get close, but I don't see that, and I don't really see the Indians continuously progressing.
Poor Indians. All right. I will give you the home run total and the player name, and you tell just tell me more or less here. You ready? All right. They have 41 for Giancarlo Stanton.
More.
By the way, they only have Yankees here. 37 for Aaron Judge.
More.
34 for Gary Sanchez. Hey, that's your guy.
Yeah, I'm going to go less.
And last guy they have here, they have 28 for Greg Burke.
Ooh. Ooh, that one's rough. I'm gonna go more. Only Yankees are gonna hit home runs next year.
Yeah, they've only got four. They just got four Yankees as the home run predictors. So I don't know where everybody else is, but all right, here they have a stat line for Shohei Ohtani. So here's what they got for him. They say he's gonna make 24 starts. He's going to be 9-7 with a 3.45 ERA. They also have him hitting 8 homers in 48 games as a DH. You
wow.
Like that?
I don't really like it, but I can kind of agree with it. It'd be interesting to find out how they use their analytics to convert from Japanese stats to, you know, the American League. Or, you know, American baseball. But, you know, I mean, you look at those numbers and, I mean, you and I are both, I don't know about you when you read that, but when you announced the number of games started, I kind of gritted my teeth like, ooh, 24. I need 30 out of this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess the transition, you don't want to overwork them, so to speak. And I like the numbers for the hitting because I don't, you know, there's a whole lot of hype behind him, but I don't see him coming out and batting in, you know, 60 to 100 games and just smashing it. While he's got the projections to hit, you know, 500 footers. We both seen it last year in their All-Star game, but that's, you know, next to hitting off a tee. So
yeah.
I still think it'll be fun to watch. You know, fun to watch him next year, this coming season.
All right. Now, interestingly, they actually have 5 of the 6 division winners repeating. You know, they have Dodgers, Cubs, Nationals in the National League. And then they have Indians, Astros. The only difference is they have the Yankees as the East winner. But they still have the Red Sox getting in as a wild card with the Mariners, Dan. They got the Mariners as a wild card team.
Ooh.
And now over in the National League, they've got the D-backs getting in as a wild card, and then it's either the Cardinals or the Giants who they predict to have 84 wins.
I could see that.
So, is this the last prediction they have here? Yeah, this looks like the last one here, Dan. They have the Marlins and the Royals each losing 96 games. You got them for more, or you got them for less there?
I definitely have the Marlins doing that, but I think the Royals less.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, depending on who signs where or what signs with who or who ends up playing where. I mean, a lot of that stuff could change just, you know, just because. So, you know, you just gotta kind of see how it goes. So, but now, you know, we did miss, you know, one decent, I don't know if you would call it a huge signing, but there was one, you know, at least name guy that got signed while I was, you know, sick as hell. Todd Frazier picks up a 2-year
yep.
deal with the Mets for, I believe it was either 17 or 17 and a half million, right around there. You know, obviously he'll take
total.
Over at third base. No, it's total. It's this year and 9 next year. So, you know, that's where Todd is at there. You know, it was kind of humorous because I was still trading emails with Schomburg Stu while this happened. And boy, man, he couldn't have hated this deal anymore. Again, you know, it's just one of those things. I get it that he's kind of stuck, you know, back in the 60s there when it comes to baseball. And I mean, he's farther off than you and I on making these adjustments to the new stats. So yeah, it's always kind of a humorous situation, but you know, combined last year, you know, Frazier spent half the season with the White Sox, half the season with the Yankees. He hit .213, 27 homers, 76 RBIs. Actually, his strikeouts were a little down. He only struck out 125 times last year, Dan. So not terrible. And he is a plus defender. So I don't know, you like that to the Mets? I mean, they add Frazier, they add Jay Bruce. I still don't know how to take it because I'm afraid all their pitchers are going to get hurt again. But
yeah,
you like that signing?
I like it. I mean, you know, they didn't break the bank. You know, and I don't think he expected that much. And I think it's a pretty fair deal. You know, you didn't mention any options, so obviously I don't think that's in there. But I think if he has a good season with the Mets, he can definitely, you know, get another couple of years. And, you know, if he's lucky, maybe an extension or, you know, we haven't really looked into the farms yet to see what, you know, all these teams have coming up, which I think we usually start to do, but it's been difficult because usually free agency is over with right now. But I still like it. You know, I was going to ask you, do you think Mr. Fantasy, Schomburg Stu didn't like it because he was a White Sox? Did they have anything to play with?
No.
Todd Frazier?
No, he didn't like it because he only hit barely over 200. So, you know, that was more the issue than anything else. And, he is just he'll be 32 here in a few days. So, you know, when the contract expires, he'll be 34. It won't be that big of a deal for him to get a, you know, if he wants to play another couple of years, he can probably pick up another, you know, another 2-year deal somewhere if that's what he's interested in. So it, you know, I mean, at least it was some kind of signing. I don't know, you know, how to explain it much past that. I mean, I know we're aching and hurting and just begging for one of these guys to get, you know, get signed so we can talk about it. And, you know, I really thought Yu Darvish was going to be signed by now. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of interest there. And they just can't seem for whatever reason to wrap up a contract or, you know, however gets it done. So yeah, we're still waiting for some kind of excitement. But you know, as Dan is wrangling his daughter here, I want to give you, according to FanGraphs, all right, I want to give you 10 players to look out for that, how do they describe it here? 10 young players on the verge of becoming superstars. So these are guys you can look out. Maybe you can add them in your fantasy league this year. They start out with Luis Castillo. He's a starting pitcher for the Reds. So he's a, you know, definitely a guy. He made 15 starts last year. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll see him a little more this year. Number two, they go with another starting pitcher, Jose Berrios, Twins. I did see that he's going to be towards the top of the rotation. So we'll have to see how that works out. We get to bring this guy up again. Greg Bird is their third. I know everybody's been waiting for him to stay healthy. He's just 25, even after having a couple years, just injury-plagued years. So, you know, he's a guy to look out for. The next guy they go with Reed Hoskins of the Phillies. I believe he'll be a first baseman outfielder this year, but he, you know, he was a big time surprise last year when the Phillies brought him up. So you have to see if that continues. Next on their list, they have Matt Chapman of the Oakland A's. It looks like he's going to be their everyday third baseman this year. Mr. Fantasy and I jumped on this guy's bandwagon last year, and he paid some dividends for us. So he's number five on their list. Moving along at number six is Aaron Nola, the Phillies starting pitcher. So a couple Phillies on this list already. Yeah, he's just 24. So, you know, a lot of young starting pitchers. Here you go. Dan would be happy about this one. They got Wilson Contreras of the Cubs on here. I'm sure he would be happy to be on this list. So we'll have to see if Wilson can continue to come through. Number eight, they go with Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins. Now, remember, it took Buxton a few years to kind of figure out the major leagues. You know, he was the number one prospect for a couple years in a row, and every time the Twins brought him up, he couldn't hit 200. But he figured it out last year, and he had a good year. We'll have to see if it continues, and not that it matters in fantasy, but he is a great defender. The ninth guy on their list, they have Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros, just 23 years old. You have to wonder if maybe he had his breakout last year in the World Series there. You know, he had a couple big games, and, you know, you have to see if he can carry that over in the next season. And then they round out their list with Christian Yelich, who is now a Milwaukee Brewer. So, yeah, there's 10 of their guys on the verge of becoming superstars. So if they're on the verge of becoming superstars, they could be guys you want to add to your fantasy, you know, wish list or however you want to set that up. So,
you know what's funny about that list, though? I'm on the verge of breaking out or whatever. These are guys that between you, I, and Mr. Fantasy, well, I don't remember Mr. Fantasy, but I know between you and I, we've had a combination of these guys on our teams for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I was on the Jose Berrios bandwagon. I think it was 2 years ago when he had an 8 ERA and they sent him back to the minors. So that's how it went for me. You know, so we'll have to see if you know. But yeah, I saw today he's scheduled to be their number two starter.
Do you think with the way that the Twins rounded out their season last year, maybe it puts them in a better position. Do you think, you don't have to completely agree, but are you going to consider him as your rookie of the year again?
I don't think he qualifies. I think he pitched too many games last year.
Oh, did he?
So, yeah, I would have to go. I would have to go another route. So, but yeah, maybe. I wish I could. You know, you'd like to think he would be a solid contender there. So. Okay. Well, I found some more predictions, Dan, but they're really not all that different from what we had before. They actually have, this is USA Today. They have all the same division winners as Pecota does. So that's no surprise there. The only difference is they have the Twins and the Angels tying for the second American League wildcard spot. And their National League wildcards are completely different. They have the Brewers and the Rockies. And actually they have the Rockies tied with the Cardinals. So it would be the Brewers as one and then the Rockies and the Cardinals tied for the other. So not anything fantastic. Of course, like, you know, again, it is just February 8th, and there are over 100 unsigned free agents. So not that any of them are going to end up in, like, Miami or Detroit or anything like that. I know I did see a report that apparently the Marlins are in touch with or in contact with John Jay about possibly bringing him in, but – you know, he's not going to change the fact that they're still going to lose 100 games. So,
Nobody will most likely play every day.
Yeah.
I guess, what are your thoughts on these alignments or these? Would you even call them predictions? Because you're just kind of picking what happened last year. I love the Cubs, don't get me wrong, but, the Cardinals are pitching signing away from taking that division back. And I don't think it's going to be that easy for the Cubs to run away with it this year. Going out to the West, well, let's stay in the East. I still think the Nationals, it's an easy pick. The Mets might give them a little run, but I don't think the Nationals are going to lose out on that. And then out West, I still think that one is going to be a toss-up because while the Dodgers had that great 27-game win streak, was it? Or, whatever that 1 month was where they barely lost a game. I don't know that it continues off that way. And I think, that whole division minus the Padres are really going to compete. I don't know if,
yeah.
I still think, maybe the Diamondbacks are signing away, picking somebody else up to really bolster it. But I think that whole division's kind of going to be up for grabs. And I don't think the Dodgers are going to run away with it as easy as everyone thinks they are.
Yeah, see, right now I think I like the Dodgers a little more than you do.
Yeah.
I think I like them a little more to win the division a little easier than you do. I think they'll I really think they're still the class of that division, and they'll they'll win it. Probably relatively easy. You and I have been saying all winter that, I fully expect San Francisco to be better. I think last year was just a strange year for them. And, I know a lot of people cried about the ads, with McCutcheon and Longoria, and, they added new guys instead of getting prospects. I get it. That's how the game is played today. But, I definitely think they'll be much better. And, Arizona and Colorado, it's hard to tell. I mean, I think if Robbie Ray is the stud that he looked like last year, and you can run Greinke and Ray out there 1-2, the Diamondbacks could really compete. We know Colorado's going to hit. There's no doubt about that. You always got to kind of wonder about their pitching in that damn park because, a guy could go out, a gem in Colorado is a guy going six or seven innings and only giving up four or five runs. it could get weird and you just never know what you're going to get. But yeah, it could be interesting. I mean, you mentioned the Nationals. I think they have the easiest division. The only shot is if the Mets pitchers stay healthy, and I just don't know if you can count on that. I mean, those guys have been injury plagued for so long. Why is this year going to be the year? I did see, the six-man rotation talk, and that's supposed to help, and all that, and the Central. Who knows? I still think the Cubs are the best team. I like what the Brewers did. I like what the Cardinals did. So, maybe it's a little different, but I still really think the Cubs are the best team. So, I guess I can understand why they're picking all the same division winners, especially in the National League. It makes a lot of sense, but yeah, again, it's February 8th and we still got 100 guys unsigned. So, who knows what the hell's going to happen by, next month.
Yeah. I'm kind of bouncing back to the Giants for a second. You mentioned, everyone was upset. They're crying that they didn't do the prospecting thing. Well, I think the difference between them and a team like the Cubs several years back was they have enough and they don't need to get on a 5-year plan to kill it and rebuild it. I think they have enough youth on that team, and bringing in those vets, I think, is going to kind of round them out a little bit more. But going, you know, into the American League, I like the Astros, but, you know, maybe I'm buying too much of the hype in the Angels. Hey, you know, so I think they're going to give them more of a run for their money than I think people are thinking. You know, the Mariners, I love what they did. They continue to improve, but I still think the pitching is lacking. So they might be able to scramble and get that second wild card spot. But unless they, you know, get a couple somewhere in the pitching, I think that would definitely boost them. But I mean, as a whole, the other eight guys you got going on the field, you can't complain with, you can't argue with it. You know, you've got to love it. The Central, you know, that's the Indians and the Twins. You know, which I think the Twins kind of surprised us last year, but I think they can kind of make a run for it. I don't know. You've got to wonder with the not winning the World Series or getting that far for the Indians, if it's going to kind of be one of those things that kind of psychologically hurts them. And then once they have to drop the Chief Wahoo, and maybe they'll just become the land, you know. Then going out west or east, no doubt. I mean, it's the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, the Orioles are going to compete. They're going to make it competitive. But, you know, once the end of the season comes, you know, the other three guys are just going to kind of be watching Red Sox-Yankee games 4 hours long.
Yeah.
You know, I guess,
yeah, you know, I mean,
to me in the American League, I think the more interesting division, and I maybe save this one for last, kind of worked the other way, to me is the American League West. I think, you know, if anyone could compete, it's going to be that division.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at it, and I mean, you know, yeah, the Yankees and the Red Sox are the two best teams in the East. I did see one of the projections had the Rays winning about 85 games. I thought that might be a tad high for them, but yeah, hey, you know, who knows? I mean, if they keep the team together, I heard today that, you know, now apparently Jake Odorizzi is on the trading block. So you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, make up your mind here. You're gonna rebuild, or you're gonna, you know, what the hell are you guys gonna do? So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, it's no doubt that the Yankees or the Red Sox win the East. You know, the Central is kind of in the same boat. I mean, it's really only the Indians and the Twins. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not sure if either team is actually a threat to win the World Series. You know, I just think they're, you know, they may both get into the playoffs, but I'm not sure if I'm sold that either team is actually a contender to, you know, be like, oh yeah, here we go. You know, we're gonna be right in this and all that, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I buy that from those guys. You know, but, you know, the West could be, you know, it could be a lot of fun. I mean, obviously the Astros are going to be really good. You know, the Angels look like, you know, they added a couple veteran guys, you know, Ian Kinsler, Zach Cozart, you know, it looks like, you know, and if their pitchers, you know, again, if those pitchers stay healthy, you know, it's going to be interesting. And I mean, you could throw Seattle in there the same way. You know, you got to remember they lost 4/5 of their starting rotation to injury last year. So, you know, you got to think they could contend just by having guys stay healthy. You know, and I mean, I also won't be surprised to see the Rangers hang around. You know, they made some nice little, you know, interesting ads here and there with the team, with, you know, possibly more to come. I know they said, I know you'll find this one interesting. They pulled out of the Yu Darvish free agency negotiations because they're trying to save money for next year in case Clayton Kershaw opts out and decides he wants to play closer to home. So, you know, that would be quite interesting there. But yeah, I still think, you know, they're going to hang around a little more than people might think. And, you know, I know they've been kicking the tires on Lance Lynn. I think if they bring him in as their starter, you know, instead of Darvish, I definitely think that upgrades them, you know, by far. I mean, you know, it's funny, but it seems like the Western division in both leagues is the best one.
And it's supposed to be the East.
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, I know obviously everybody is, well, you know, you got the Red Sox and the Yankees and you got the Red Sox and the Yankees and that's it. You know, I mean, you look at the West, you got the Astros, the Angels, the Mariners, you know, I mean, you got three stacked up against two.
Well, not to mention the Dodgers, the Giants, and, you know, you mix in a little bit of Rangers and Diamondbacks and come back East, and all you got the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Nationals.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
crazy Philadelphia fans.
You didn't even mention the Rockies, who've been, you know, hit the bejesus out of the ball. So, it's just, you know, one of those, you know, one of those goofy things. I mean, I get it. It's supposed to be the West, and, you know, it's great and all that. And, you know, just, you got to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, kind of starting to get like basketball now, where all the good teams are in the Western Conference, except a couple. So. You know, but yeah, you know, maybe, you know, I know we're getting close to the our allotted time that we're scheduled for here, but are you, you know, I'm most surprised that Darvish isn't signed yet. You know, he's looked so close a couple times. Are you kind of in that boat with me? Are you a little shocked that he hasn't inked a contract yet?
I am. I mean, obviously I think we're waiting for him, and then, you know, teams like, well, you said the Rangers pulled out, so I think if they were to kind of make a quick deal and run with Lance Lynn, that'll leave the other teams out, you know, a solid starter and kind of position themselves in a, you know, a little bit better. But I really think that once Darvish is off the market, that's when I really think he's the one holding it up, you know, and I don't know if it's, you know, the fact that so many teams are interested in him and he obviously wants to get the best deal, which I don't blame him. And, you know, with the way the game is played today, I don't know a whole lot about his family life, but I'm assuming he's still single. And I don't know about the logistic parts of it. So I don't think it really is going to be a huge deal to him where he ends up living, you know, and I'm sure with the contract, he'll get a nice stipend to, I don't know how that works out all the time, but, you know, he'll definitely get the tax breaks to move. So I don't, well, then again, he's an international guy, so I don't know how that works for him either. but, you know, I'm sure he'll get the money to, you know, get paid for him to get moved and all that. So I don't think he has an issue. I do think, though, he's going to end up signing with the team that spring trains in Arizona.
All right, well, the music means that Dan and I are going to take off, but hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, as long as Dan doesn't get the snow. You know what? Oh, we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, but don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. You can also hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like. As always, big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to it at tunein.com.